Last week, Barry started talking to us about our purpose, and he preached primarily from two texts. Can anybody remember what those are? Good. What's that? I think that was the week before. Yeah, good memory. Okay, Matthew 28. The last part of Matthew 28, where Jesus gives his last words to his apostles, and then Colossians 1. And we'll look at both of those today. And what I have on the screen here is our purpose statement for this congregation, and it comes from a purpose statement in Scripture. And that purpose statement is at the end of Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus gives that mission to his apostles, and they carry that out. And throughout the centuries, Christians have also taken on this mission as their own and chosen to participate in that. And we as a congregation have as well. And our purpose statement, which is available online on our website, cordovachurch.org, and then I think it's about us, and you click our purpose. And if you do that, you find this statement. You find these words from Matthew 28, and then this is the purpose of the global church. All Christians are called to participate in this mission. The Cordova Community Church is and is committed to always being mission-focused. So we as a congregation are called to participate in that mission, and we are committed to be mission-focused always. And you notice that it says all Christians are called to participate in this mission. It doesn't specify exactly how, right? There are a lot of different ways to participate in that mission. And we're going, as we think more about our purpose and how we participate in that, I encourage you to think about how you're contributing to that, or how you might be able to contribute to that. And sometimes we get, or at least some of us can get really uncomfortable with this mission, because we have these stereotypes in our heads about what this is, what this involves. And when I was growing up, I thought of the Great Commission as going and knocking on strangers' doors and trying to persuade them that day, that hour, to get dunked in a baptistry. And there are a lot of different approaches to this, and a lot of different ways of participating. And God has gifted us to participate in this mission that this congregation has accepted. So out of that, out of those biblical words, our congregation has chosen this purpose statement: to lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. When I was growing up, the churches that I was exposed to seemed to be against purpose statements and vision statements. But they can really help a group of people to be aligned together and know where we're all headed. I mean, we have these big purpose words from Scripture. But what does that mean specifically in our context? How are we going to think about that in a way that can guide our actions? And so we have this statement: to lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. And that arises from those words in Matthew 28, and it leads to some specific actions that we'll get to in a little bit. Our purpose statement explains, after giving this purpose statement to lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus, we find these words in our purpose statement: Jesus' mission focused upon people being in right relationship with God and one another, minute. Okay, I fought off a sneeze. He said that loving God and loving people are the two greatest commands. And those come from Matthew 22. Love God and love people. We grow into fully developed Jesus followers when we intentionally participate in three vital relationships. Well, CCC purpose statement, what are those three vital relationships? Well, here they are. Intimacy with God, community with God's children, and influence with people away from God. And you notice that there are some scripture references there to show you where those are coming from in the Bible. And we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, which is not cited here. But if you're interested in your own study and devotional time to look up these verses that might help you understand these relationships as well and kind of where they're anchored in Scripture. And if you don't have time to write down these Scripture references, it's okay. It's on the website at the bottom of the purpose statement. So intimacy with God, community with God's children, and influence with people away from God. And this can be maybe a little challenging to remember because it's a bunch of words. Intimacy with God, community with God's children, influence with people away from God. I'm not sure I have it memorized yet. That doesn't mean it's not good. It's a good list. But here's a way for you to remember. Up, in, out. Relationship with God, up. Relationship with each other, community with God's children, in the church, in the body. Influence with people away from God, out. So to help you get that into your heads, why don't we all look up as if we're talking to God and say, up. And now look at a neighbor and say, in. Now look out the windows and say, out. Yeah, so we have up, in, out. Up, in, out. You think you can remember that now? Yeah. In Colossians chapter 1, which Barry mentioned last week, we find these three vital relationships. In verse 26, we find the intimacy with God. But before I go into the details, maybe we should read this together. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. In verse 26, we find these words, Christ in you, the mystery which is Christ in you. And that is mysterious, isn't it? Okay, who is Christ? Jesus, Messiah, Son of God. A lot of other biblical titles we could use. A part of God, a member of the Godhead, who took on human flesh. It's God. Jesus is God in human form. Christ is God in human form. That in itself is a mystery. And here, Colossians 1 is talking about Christ being in us. How does that work? Have you ever wondered? How does that work? And now you're ready for the answer? Well, sorry, you're not getting one. Because it's a mystery, right? But as we live our lives, as we let God shape our lives by the teachings and the actions of Jesus, then we get more into Christ and Christ gets more into us. And we become closer and more closely connected with Jesus and with God and with the Holy Spirit. And we become more godly. And I don't know about you, but I still have a long way to go on that. Still being developed. I'm fully mature, but not fully mature yet. All right? So there's this mystery about this union between God and us. This mystery, Christ in us. And we find that here. We also find community with God's children. In verse 24, the author talks about his sufferings. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. So whatever these sufferings are for the readers, for the body, for the church. Paul's sufferings are for the church. Now, how would they be for the church? Whatever Paul is suffering, how could that be for the church? Well, one way of answering that is that whatever suffering Paul is going through is an example to the Christians he's writing to. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And so his life of suffering for Christ is for the Christians that he's writing to, and that it helps them to see what life in Christ is. And that's part of what this community with God's children is about. It's about showing each other what life in Christ is. And it's about helping each other live this life that we've committed to, but we still don't completely understand, because it's mysterious. Right? But we can help each other. We can learn from each other. We can grow together if we're living in community with each other. This is a hard thing for us to grasp in our culture, because our culture is very individualistic. We're not as communal as some cultures are. We tend to do things by ourselves, or maybe as individual family units. There's not as much community. In fact, just a few decades ago, our culture was a little more communal. Part of that was because we were less urban. Right? We lived in smaller communities, and so it was more natural for us to have relationships with our neighbors. But now in urban context, we don't have to know our neighbors. We don't have to talk to our neighbors if we don't want to. In fact, in some places, we might think we're safer if we don't talk to our neighbors. Although sometimes you might be safer if you do know your neighbors. But community is still important, and that's one thing that the church offers in this individualistic culture, is this opportunity to have these deep, close relationships with each other. The third relationship is influence with people away from God. So we have up and out. In verse 27, Paul says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Gentiles just means non-Jews. And Paul liked to do ministry among the non-Jews. the Gentiles. Right? The message of Christ went to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles, and Paul took it as his personal mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles, the people who were not Christians. Well, there were Jews who were not Christians too. Part of this life together in Christ, this mysterious union with God and each other, part of that is reaching out to the people around us and living out God's glory and truth in a world that doesn't know God. And I think that maybe this is something that we're still wrestling with. Because we don't completely understand the intimacy with God part. It's a mystery. And sometimes we might struggle with the community part, the in part, because, you know, there are little conflicts and squabbles in any group of people, little differences of personality and so forth. Or maybe we just have time limitations, and so we struggle with that. But we value those. Even if we struggle or don't completely understand, we value relationship with God and relationship with each other. And I think cognitively we grasp the third one. But sometimes it might stop there. And we have this hole in our three vital relationships. It's easy to fall into the trap of knowing that we are supposed to live out the Jesus life among non-Christians so that they can see God's glory and praise our Father in heaven. It's easy to fall in the trap of knowing that and then just not doing anything about it. Right? I'm not speaking just to you. The sermon is with you. Right? I'm in this too. And one of the challenges here is that exactly how this is done differs depending on our situations. You know, one time in my life, I was a campus minister working with college students, and this was easy for me. I would just hang out with college students, and we would have Bible studies, and we'd have worship times, and we'd have biblical conversations. Those college students would invite their friends, they would build relationships. They would hang out, they'd be exposed to the teaching, and once in a while a student would come to me and say, I want to talk about becoming a Christian. And I'd say, okay. And so it just happened naturally. Now, let me do a middle part there. So there was that campus ministry time, then there was the time when I was working in a different kind of ministry role, and I was just around Christians all the time. Except for whenever we would go out and do service projects. But all of my relationships were with Christians, and so that didn't happen naturally. And now I'm in a situation 4 or 5 days a week where I'm interacting with non-Christians all the time. Some Christians too, but a lot of non-Christians. And I'm able to have conversations, but they're not coming up to me and saying, I want to know how to become a Christian. So we're all in different situations, and we have to find kind of where God is wanting to move in our situation, right? How am I to be a proclamation of God's glory in this moment, in this situation? We need all three. Up and out. Intimacy with God, community with God's children, influence with people away from God. And this stool is not just because I'm lazy this morning, but it's an illustration. I wanted three legs, but it has four. Pretend it has three. Can you do that? This stool has three legs. One, two, three, three. Right? And if this stool has three legs, and I remove a leg, what happens? Yeah, it falls over. It's not very good to hold me up anymore, right? Need all three. One, two, three. Intimacy with God, community with God's children, influence with people away from God. If I take one out, it topples. So our purpose is to lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. And part of that is this set of three vital relationships: intimacy with God, community with God's children, influence with people away from God. And then we have a vision statement that specifies how we're going to do this, how we're going to facilitate this purpose and these relationships. And that vision statement includes three specific areas: growth groups, church planting, and youth and children's ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that that's all we do. It means that those are our emphases, right? These are the areas that we as a congregation have committed to focus on. And growth groups is very important because that's where our community with God's children really forms. I mean, it might form a little bit on Sunday mornings, but a lot of our Sunday morning conversations are, "Hi, how are you? Oh, good. Good to see you." And we don't really dive in deep into each other's lives. But in the growth groups, these small groups that meet midweek in people's homes, we get to do that. We sit around, we eat together, we have Bible study together, we pray together, and we hear what's going on in each other's lives, and then we can be there for each other in the good times and the bad times. And church planting has always been an interest of this congregation. And we've done some of that, and we're wanting to do more of that. And then youth and children's ministry is obviously a focus. Just look at the list of staff members on the bulletin, and at least half are youth and or children, right? So, you know the purpose, you know the three vital relationships, you know the vision, but maybe you've known all of this for a long time. Maybe you were here in this congregation when the purpose and vision statements were written. It's like 100 years ago, right? No, I think it was more like 16, 17, 18, I don't know. Maybe you've known this stuff for a long time, and you're tired because you've been working so hard. And some of you who have been here for a long time have been working so hard. And I am so glad. I am glad that this church is still here. This church has been such a blessing to me. And I'm glad to be part of it. And you are probably tired because of the years of effort that you have given to this body of Christ. And you're trying to find some way to persevere, maybe some way to fan that flame, keep it going. Or maybe your problem isn't fatigue, maybe your problem is forgetfulness. You've known all of this stuff, you've heard about our purpose and vision, you've heard these biblical words that I've talked about this morning, but you just have a tendency to forget what your purpose is. Or maybe your problem is distraction. That's usually my problem. That's the ADD problem. In my case, the ADHD problem. Like, oh, okay, here's my purpose. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm supposed to do. Oh, now I'm doing this other thing. And maybe they're all great things, but I can't stay focused on one thing long enough to actually do anything. Now, I have found ways to cope, but I do have that tendency to get distracted. We get distracted by other purposes, other visions. And whenever I was preparing these PowerPoint slides, I got distracted. ended up on Facebook. I don't know how that happened. Playing around on Facebook. But then I found something that made me feel not so bad, because I saw that even a veteran minister, the preacher of the gospel, can get distracted. When he's supposed to be out telling people about Jesus, he ends up playing around with photo apps and making images like this.
That's the best looking baby you'll ever see.
Which one?
Yes.
We get distracted. We get forgetful. We get tired. How do we deal with this? We know the purpose. We know the vision. How do we deal with the fatigue? How do we deal with the forgetfulness? How do we deal with the distraction? Can we do this? How can we do this? Maybe we can't. It's just too hard. But check out verse 29 of Colossians 1. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. We don't have to do this alone. Christ is working in us. Are you tired? Contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in you. Are you forgetful? Contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in you. Are you distracted? Contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in you. We keep working because God is working in us. We keep working because God is working in us. So we can lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. Not because of us, but because God does it through us. In various ways, at various levels, in different situations, God is working through this congregation to touch people's lives in the name of Jesus, and to touch the world in the name of Jesus. And this body, this part of the body of Christ right here, Cordova Community Church, is part, a small part, but a very important part of the big mission that God is doing in transforming the world. So don't give up. Don't let fatigue defeat us. Don't let forgetfulness defeat us. Let's not let distraction defeat us, because Christ is working an incredible energy in us. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have the power to create the universe. You've had the power to love and judge and forgive throughout the centuries. The stars and the sun and the moon and the trees and the hills and everything about creation remind us about your power. Our presence together here in this room, in your presence, reminds us of your power. And we know that you have the power, the strength, and the ability to transform us and to use us to transform this world in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for that, and we pray for strength and wisdom as we participate in that mission, that purpose. Give us clear vision. Give us perseverance. Give us focus. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing another song, and as we do, if you would like to pray with any church leaders, there'll be a few of us in the back of this room.
Let's stand together.